The first book that I want to read from is a couple of short quotes, but if anybody's interested to track this down, Buddhist Economics, Proper Yuto, it's a very good, it's written in early 1990s, and it's from a talk that this monk was gave at, I think at the at like a the faculty of economics at a big university, and then they then it was put into a book, and it's probably 3-4 hour talk. It just outlines the Buddhist perspective on economics and living in the world. For this specific application of livelihood, this gives a bit of an overview. Contrary to the misconception that Buddhism is only for renunciants, Buddhists recognize that acquiring wealth is one of life's fundamental activities, and the Buddha gave many teachings on the proper way to acquire wealth. But he also stressed that the purpose of wealth is to facilitate the development of highest human potential. In Buddhism, there are said to be three goals in life: the initial, medium, and ultimate goals. The initial goal is reasonable material comfort and economic security. Material security, however, is only a foundation for the two higher, more abstract goals, mental well-being and inner freedom. The major part of our lives is taken up with economic activities. If economics is to have any real part to play in the resolution of human problems, then all economic activities, production, consumption, work, and spending, must contribute to well-being and help realize the potential for a good and noble life. It is something that we are capable of doing. The essence of Buddhist economics lies here, in ensuring that economic activity enhances the quality of our lives. That's a baseline. That's useful for plugging back into and recognizing where many of the actual teachings, where they're going, what the ethos is for that. On the actual, there's a little section, very short, on right livelihood. Right livelihood is one factor on the Noble Eightfold Path. It is not determined by the amount of material wealth it produces, but rather by the well-being it generates. Many livelihoods which produce a surplus of wealth simply cater to desires rather than providing for any true need. For the individual, the objective of livelihood is to acquire the four necessities or requisites of human existence: food, clothing, shelter, and medicine. Again, the acquisition of these four requisites, be it in sufficient amount or in surplus, is not the ultimate objective. The four requisites are merely a foundation upon which efforts to realize higher objectives can be based. Some people are content with few possessions and need only a minimum to devote their energies to mental and spiritual development. Others cannot live happily on such a small amount. They are more dependent on material goods. As long as their livelihood does not exploit others, however, Buddhism does not condemn their wealth. Moreover, people who are charitably inclined can use their wealth in ways that are beneficial for society as a whole. In opposition to contemporary urban values, Buddhism does not measure a person's or a nation's worth by material wealth. Nor does it go to the opposite extreme, as do Marxist thinkers, and condemn the accumulation of wealth as an evil in and of itself. Instead, Buddhism judges the ethical value of wealth by the ways in which it is obtained and the uses to which it is put. I think that's a really good reflection in terms of the not so much the external application or what one's doing, and that it immediately has a label of right or wrong, but that the degree of ethic or the degree to which ethics and moral principles are applied in the obtaining and then what it's being put to use for.